necessity of them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a just decision for me against my adversary. For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, while it was true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. The Lord said, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord. An interesting question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? A few weeks ago, we launched our campaign for saints and scholars, and the gospel was from Luke chapter 16 on the rich man and Lazarus. And I was at St. Robert. So I asked them, where is that line between rich and poor? What makes one person rich? What makes another person poor? Who of us thinks of ourselves as rich? And who of us thinks of ourselves as poor? So we can look down the pew and we can say, well, that person has this or that and this other thing. So they're richer than I am, so I must be poor. But I guarantee you the person looking at you is saying the same thing, that you are rich and that they are poor. So where is that line between rich and poor? The widow who went to the temple to give her offering of 2 coins gave everything she had. The rich man who went to the temple to give his tithe, which is right, 10%, gave more than what the widow did. Because corporally, we measure being rich in the accumulation of our material goods or how much money we have. And we measure poor the same way as in the lack of those things. But spiritually, how do we measure richness? The widow gave everything she had. The rich man gave partial of what he had. So our richness comes in the giving. And the gift that all of us have from God is in our hearts. And everybody has it. And it is the gift of faith. Are we sharing that faith? Are we giving that faith to others? We can look around in the world today and know that we have a crisis of faith in the world. And we have a crisis of faith in our country. And we have a crisis of faith in our schools. And we have a crisis of faith, believe it or not, in our church. Today is a day in the month of October. And the month of October is Respect Life Month. And we have trouble getting people to pray in front of an abortion clinic to end abortion. We still have those today who will defend abortion. Even Catholics, they believe that abortion belongs to the reproductive right of the woman. That's a contradiction in terms. Abortion is the killing of a human being, the termination of life. Reproductive is procreation, the creating, participating in the creation of life. It's a contradiction of terms. And a house divided will not stand. Yesterday, they organized a No Kings protest. And as a Christian, we can't go there. We have a king, the King of Kings. And then that title alone implies that there are other kings. But our king is Jesus. And as a Christian, we cannot say no king. As an American, we already have a day we celebrate no king. And we call that the 4th of July, when we were declared our independence. for 250 years that it's been true. We should be proclaiming from the mountaintop, not no kings, but know your king. Friday was Montrose homecoming. And I hear they did a good job. They won. And there was a lot of preparation in that, even for the kids in school to have a pep rally to support that. But as you know, our religious education program is on Friday afternoon. And we've tried every day of the week. We've tried almost every hour of the day to have this class so that most of the people can come without interference from the world. But on Friday, they had a pep rally for homecoming, and our level 3 catechesis of the Good Shepherd, nobody came. Our faith is a matter of choice. Are we going to share it? Are we going to give it to others? Or are we going to choose the world? In the church, we can see we probably have 90 people here today in a building that is supposed to maximize at 570. We have a crisis of faith. Last night at Mass, we had no servers. Every male in here should have a desire in their heart to serve at the table of God. When we don't have a server, we must support our priests. That's a precept of the church. To have the priest up here alone doing it by himself is like Moses sitting there holding the staff of God in his arms, getting tired because he has no help. Last night at Mass, we had no extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist. It should be on the heart of everyone in here, the desire to give Jesus to others. We are in a crisis of faith. When I was a young man, I would go up north at this time of the season and enjoy a power drive. And this one year, I ended up at Mayo Mountain. It's a ski resort in Mayo, but it's really a hill. And at the top of the hill is a radio tower. And I climbed that radio tower to the top, and looking out over the land, every tree was in color. Beautiful. I got pictures. Most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And this is before the Emerald Ash Borer and the Dutch Elms disease and all the other things that were taking our trees away. It was just a sea of color. I thought it the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. So I bought my house. And when I bought my house, it was all farmland. It was tilled and ready to plant. In a condition on my buying the house, I had to lease the land out to the farmer across the street. Well, he decided not to plant the following year, so the field was just dirt. And come June, I'm sitting out on my back deck enjoying the outdoors there, and all of a sudden it was like somebody turned the lights on. And there were millions, and I'm not exaggerating, of fireflies 30 feet high down to the ground, covering the whole 18 acres. So I called my brother down the road and said, "You got to come down and see this." He says, "See what?" I said, "Fireflies, there's a lot of them." He says, "I've seen that before." I said, "You haven't seen them like this." And he come down and looked at it and knew that he hadn't seen this. And I can't explain it any more than that. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Until I started planting my garden and landscaping the yard, I decided to put in trumpet vines. And everybody said, "You don't want to do that. It's a weed. It will grow everywhere and you can't kill it." And they were right. But I planted it anyway. And I am still picking it out of the yard in places it's not supposed to be every year. But one year, I'm out there, I'm watching, enjoying the yard and the work that we've done. And hummingbirds come. 100 of them. And they're playing in the trumpet vines. They're shooting in and out like they were chasing each other. Just the sight that, you know, you maybe get a glance at it once a year. Or once in your lifetime. How beautiful that was. Seeing the fingerprints of God in His creation. asking to create the fingerprint of God on our heart in the gift of faith that he has given us is beautiful. But are we giving that faith away? Are we giving it to others? Faith is a community thing. Just like in the book of Exodus, Amalek wages war against the Israelites. And Moses tells Joshua to pick an army and defend Israel, the Israelites. And so they all have a role in defending the Israelites. Moses is going to oversee it. He's going to hold up the staff of God. And as long as he has it up, the Israelites have the better of the war. And when his arms get tired, the Amalekites have the better of the war. So Moses grows tired. Aaron and Hur have to help him hold up his arms. So they have a role in it. It's a community thing. We have to support each other. We have to give of our faith. We have to live it together. The best inheritance we can give our kids is to live the life of a Christian in front of them and practice it in private so that we do live it in public. It is a beautiful thing to notice the fingerprints of God in everything. We should be shouting from the mountaintops, "Know your King." We should be living it in the public square. People should be looking at us and saying, "I want to be like them." They love each other. They have joy in their hearts. They live the life of truth. Let me end with the words of Dr. Scott Hahn. Like the Israelites and the widow in today's gospel, we face opposition and injustice. At times from godless and pitiless adversaries, we too must lift our eyes to the mountain, to Calvary and the God who will guard us from all evil. Jesus tells us that we must pray always without becoming weary from our trials. We must be persistent in the way we go about. As Paul exhorts in today's epistle, we need to remain faithful to what we have learned and believed because we know from whom it came. And he charges Timothy in the presence of God and Jesus Christ to be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. And we must use Scripture for teaching, refutation, and correction, and for training in righteousness so that we can be competent and equipped for every good work. We have to turn to the inspired scriptures given by God to train us in righteousness. We must persist so that when the Son of Man comes again, he will indeed